Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. The COVID-19 crisis could significantly deplete state resources in Wisconsin. Governor Tony Evers says the state could lose more than $2 billion over the next year. That's because tax collections are expected to drop and demand for state services like Medicaid are expected to rise. This is bad news for school districts, which are heavily reliant on state funding. In fact, K-12 schools are the largest expense in the state budget every year. The Wisconsin Policy Forum has a new report about how school district finances could be impacted by the pandemic. Research Director Jason Stein spoke with WUWM education reporter Emily Files about the uphill battle Wisconsin schools will be facing.
So I guess the way that I would describe it is there are just a whole series of unknowns that school leaders face as they're trying to put together their budgets. And, you know, they're just doing preliminary budgets right now, but they're also making some really consequential decisions like hiring and contracting with teachers. And so it's a difficult situation that they face as they're trying to plan a year out right now at a time when we have so much uncertainty about what's going to happen even a few weeks from now.
So Governor Evers and Republican lawmakers struck a deal in 2019 to increase school funding by about $570 million over 2 years. And the upcoming year was supposed to be a good one for school districts. They were supposed to get a higher level of special education reimbursement and more spending power per student. So what might happen to that expected state funding increase now?
That's a great question. You know, school aides are state government's single biggest expense. And, you know, we don't know how badly state government has been affected by tax collections falling in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic, but we know the impact has been very swift and severe. And so, you know, that's raising a question about whether the state might need to freeze or cut school aids to try and manage its own budget problems. But it's really hard to predict that, number one, because we don't know how big the state tax impacts will be yet. And then we also don't know the degree to which the federal government will provide states additional money that they could use to make up for some of those revenue losses.
So you point out that some school districts are much more reliant on state funding than others. Can you explain why that is and what it could mean if state support does get scaled back?
So there are a lot of different funding streams types of state aid to school districts, but you know the biggest single type is called equalization aid. It's a form of general school aid. It's money that districts can use for whatever priorities they have. That aid is apportioned to districts in part based on property values. So if you have a district, you know, a rural district or an urban district like the Milwaukee Public Schools that have lower property values, they tend to receive more state aid. And, you know, we think of that, I think it's often thought of by many people as a good thing in that that sort of equalizes what property taxes need to be levied at the local level to, you know, provide a similar amount of spending to educate students. And, you know, starts, you know, evens out some of those differences across rich and poor districts. But obviously, you know, in a moment when we're talking about a potential cut to state aid, a district that is more reliant on that assistance is potentially more exposed to financial challenge.
Some examples of the difference between different districts in terms of how reliant they are on state funding. Your report says that Milwaukee Public Schools, 62.6% of the district's instructional fund is from state aid, Janesville is even higher, 65.7%, whereas districts like Madison, only 23% of their instructional fund is from state funding. Waukesha, 41.6%. So it varies really widely depending on the relative property values of the district. So moving on to another major topic in this report, you talk about the fund balances that districts have, which could help them at least temporarily if they fall on hard times by losing a portion of state aid or having a lot of new expenses because of the crisis. So how much financial cushion do districts generally have?
Looking in terms of fund balances, districts on a statewide basis have added to fund balances, you know, during the economic expansion, and that's a resource that they could potentially draw on when they're faced with an unforeseen financial challenge like COVID-19. But there are a lot of important caveats to what I'm saying there, because these fund balances are not necessarily cash that is sitting in districts' bank accounts. You know, they represent assets minus liabilities at a given point in time. You know, those assets can include property tax payments or state aid or state property tax credit payments that are not necessarily, you know, that are due to the district, but not necessarily in hand. Their fund balances can include assets that are restricted and they can't necessarily use for any purpose. And then finally, fund balances are, you know, one-time sources of money and assets. And so, you know, if a district is facing a ongoing cut to its state aid or an ongoing new expenditure need, it can't necessarily, you know, resolve that issue by drawing on, you know, that permanent issue by drawing on a one-time source of funds.
So even though there are a lot of caveats with the fund balances, you know, it's not just money in the bank that can be used for whatever the district wants. You thought it was important to take a look at the picture for district fund balances in the state. And you found a lot of variation in terms of what districts have in their fund balance. And one of the outliers was Milwaukee Public Schools. What's going on there and what could it mean for MPS?
Obviously, MPS is one of the districts that we watch for a number of reasons. It's the state's largest and also has a number of underserved students. When you look at MPS, obviously it's heavily dependent on state aid, which is, you know, there are questions about, you know, what will happen with state aid. And then when you look at its fund balance, MPS has, as a share of its overall spending, its fund balance is one of the smallest in the state and one of the smallest among large districts. So obviously that's a point of concern as we look at this crisis and we see all the financial shocks that could be, you know, that are already happening to districts and that might intensify over the next year.
Do you have those numbers in front of you, the percent fund balance that MPS has compared to some of the other districts, and if you have an average number statewide?
The balance in sort of the instructional funds in MPS and the share of that, the share of spending that represents, MPS before the crisis, MPS was budgeting a fund balance for June 30th that would be roughly 3% spending in the instructional funds. When you look at total fund balances for all districts statewide, that share of spending is more like 24%. You know, it's significantly less than other districts statewide, and MPS is reporting a significant share of its fund balance as being restricted or otherwise set aside, which means that there could be limitations even on the modest balance that it has.
Right. So MPS is kind of operating on a shoestring fund balance there, 2 to 3%. compared to around 20% for other districts on average.
Right. You know, when you look at it in terms of just in terms of dollars, it's $32 million. And so I think to a lot of listeners, that sounds like, you know, a really big number. And, you know, obviously in some senses it's significant, but, you know, given the size of MPS and, you know, the size of their annual spending, that's pretty modest, you know, when you put it in that context.
Right. And MPS Superintendent Keith Posley has released his budget proposal for the upcoming school year, but it doesn't take into account any financial changes due to the coronavirus. And it also does not account for $57 million from the recent referendum, which you also mentioned in your report could be a major help for the district during this time of financial uncertainty. So more details on the MPS budget will hopefully come out at a school board budget meeting Thursday night. And it'll be interesting to see how the conversation goes with all of this uncertainty about revenue and expenses. So you point out that this pandemic is going to increase students and families' needs, and I think everyone recognizes what a huge disruption this has been to education, an unprecedented disruption. And it's going to be, you know, something that school districts might want to pay for additional programming to help students get back on track academically or help with, you know, emotional, mental health concerns. But with the uncertain financial picture, including state funding, you point out that districts may just have a hard time even maintaining status quo.
Yes, I mean, that is one of the ironies here. So obviously, as districts have had classroom teaching affected here and have had to shift to virtual instruction, there's obviously, and we don't fully know, but there's obviously some impacts to student outcomes. And there might be a lot of things that districts would like to do to minimize or address those impacts going forward that might carry a cost, whether that would be additional instruction in the summer or other things, right? And obviously, one of the challenges here is that it may be difficult to sustain current operations depending on what happens in the coming months, and let alone, you know, taking on, you know, some of these new responsibilities that local leaders and local communities might want to undertake.
Jason Stein is research director at the Wisconsin Policy Forum. He spoke with WUWM's Emily Files about a new report detailing the financial uncertainty school districts are facing during the pandemic. On Thursday, Milwaukee Public Schools has its first hearing on a proposed budget for the upcoming school year, and you can find more about it at WUWM.com.